When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name they will cast out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes in their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. The text of St. Mark's Gospel was shocking to many who heard it read. Far from providing detailed accounts, as the other evangelists did, of the encounters the disciples had with the risen Lord, Mark speaks of the terror and amazement that had overcome the women who had seen that the tombstone of Jesus had been rolled back, and then been told by a young man dressed in white that Jesus of Nazareth was no longer there, but had gone ahead into Galilee. The women fled from the tomb. Mark notes in his conclusion that they said nothing to anyone, adding, "They were afraid, you see." And with that, the Gospel of Mark ends. But not quite. In the early 2nd century, the last verses we have just heard were added to provide a more satisfactory conclusion. It was felt, not unreasonably, I think, that the description of the fear-filled terror in the hearts of the women at the tomb and their resultant silence was not a satisfactory ending to a story whose purpose was to make known the risen Jesus and the relevance of his message to each generation of disciples who listened to Mark's account of Jesus' life and death. But wait, perhaps there is, even in the abrupt first ending, some instructive clue. Not perhaps a clue to help us solve the mystery of the resurrection of Jesus, but a clue to enable us realize how shocking and astonishing the discovery of the empty tomb must have been, and how speechless the experience might well leave any of us. The women said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Afraid, I believe, also in the sense of being taken aback, paralyzed by the shock of what they'd seen and heard. They said nothing, Yes, they were for a time, at least a time, made speechless by this experience, this revelation of the true meaning and outcome of the violent death of Jesus. And so to the longer ending, written when disciples regained their voice as they came to terms with what had taken place and were more confident in speaking about it. The earlier lack of faith, the fruit of what Jesus described as a stubborn heart, this is to be overcome. They were to speak out and share the news of the salvation God had provided in Jesus and bring more and more people into the company of those who believe in him and are baptized. The city of Venice is among those whose patron is St. Mark, and along the canals and in the piazza in front of the cathedral, joy is shared today. In their midst, the people believe, lies one called Mark, who, like them, looked forward to the resurrection. In the Basilica of San Marco are the reputed remains of the evangelist. The winged lion, symbol of the city of Venice and of Mark, reminds one of courage and of power. The presence of wings may in fact direct us to an even higher understanding of power and courage. The gospel message of Jesus' resurrection lifts us with him above the terrestrial. He is not here, the women were told. There is a mysterious joy in reflecting on the risen life of Jesus, joy and also astonishment. We may speak of it with pleasure, but on occasion the amazement may leave us speechless once more. We are certainly afraid we've only begun to scratch the surface of the meaning of this central mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.